it or not, this is the second last of In His Footsteps series, because next week the spiritual formation guys are going to do the wrap-up of this series we've just had. And so In His Footsteps is following Jesus' footsteps. Today we're looking at promises and restoration and just moving into that last bit of the readings. If you're aware, we're looking at the book of John and also the book of Matthew. And today's two readings are the last of the reading in John, and it's the last of the reading in Matthew, and bringing them together. Promises and restoration. Peter Lachlan last week challenged us to think about the promises and the restoration. The promise Jesus has to bring us back to wholeness, and restoration, restoring us to the point of being even better than we were. He gave that analogy of a plate that's broken. I think he said Sharon's favourite plate. He mentioned something like that. Sharon's favourite plate, broken. And you can pick it up, the pieces of the plate. You can glue them together. And that's brought together, but is it fully restored? Are you going to take it out and put it on the table as your first choice plate? You don't see it that way anymore because it's been glued together. So you still have it. You put it on your cupboard, but it's not your first choice anymore. Jesus was saying the broken plate, Peter was saying about that restoration, that not only is the plate glued together, but the plate is now the first choice or the choice to be used. And that's what Jesus does to us. We are broken in our sin or understanding of our life journey. And Jesus says, not only do I forgive you, which is beautiful, but I restore you to go and share that with others. And I loved how he brought that in all together last week. Jesus restores us to be active in our faith journey, to be excited in our faith journey. And so we're going to look at that passage again where Peter finished off last week. We're going to have this understanding of Peter, Jesus, and a conversation. So let's pray. Are you ready to be challenged today? Okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do like the idea of being fully restored. We don't like the idea of being broken. So, Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, help us to recognize that in our brokenness, you want to restore us and set us free. But the challenge is for us individually, our own journey with you, our faith with you, the way we see you, the way we understand and the way that you interact with us and us interacting with you. Lord, I ask the church, are you ready to be challenged this morning? Lord, we pray this morning now that our hearts will be ready to receive what you have for us, but not in a negative way, but in an inspired way. Because Jesus, you said you would give us life and life in abundance. What does that mean for us individually? To walk in your footsteps, to have an abundant life. Speak through me, Lord, and let us hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It was by the Sea of Galilee that Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go up to Galilee, to go up to that place. And so Jesus had set some fish as a meal by the lake. Disciples have just been fishing. And so here they are, this meal's taken place. I want you to notice two things. I won't go to the passage, but I want you to notice in that scripture it says the fish were cooking on hot coals. There's only two places in the New Testament that says cooking or by hot coals. In the Greek wordage, there's only two places where you find hot coals. One, where these fish are being cooked on the hot coals. The other is when Peter is in the high priest's yard warming himself when he denies Jesus three times. Warming himself by hot coals. So that the author writes it so we understand that there's a similar thing taking place. Hot coals, Peter denies Jesus three times. Hot coals, Jesus now putting some fish out and having a conversation with Peter, he says this. When they'd finished eating, Jesus and said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? We don't know what the these are. Many have had different ideas. I don't think it's that important, but the question is, do you love me more than whatever is around? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, this is Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? You can imagine that recognition. Three times he denied him. Three times Jesus is asking him that question, do you love me? He's hurt now because he's realized this is taking place. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. We often see this as the restoration passage where Jesus is restoring the three denials into the three questions, do you love me? But then it moves on, the same conversation, next part. Jesus says to him, very truly I tell you, this is to Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive, well, until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This whole conversation, this personal conversation we've just read between Peter and Jesus. Now let's look at it. Very truly, Jesus says, I tell you, when you are young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify him. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Hasn't Jesus been saying to Peter all along, "Follow me, follow me, follow me"? And now he's asking again, "Follow me." To indicate the kind of death, to go where he wouldn't want to go. Who knows how Peter died? Sorry? Crucified upside down. The belief is that he was crucified upside down, that he was brought into Rome, and that he believed it wasn't right to be crucified right way up, so he asked to be crucified upside down, led where he didn't want to go. But this is in the year 70 AD after, so about 40 years after Jesus' ministry. Just gives you an understanding. Jesus was saying, "Are you willing to follow me through the whole journey?" In verse 20, it says, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" This should catch us individually. In our faith journey, when we look around, how many times do we say, "What about them? Jesus, why are you putting me through this? What about them? Why do I have to carry this load? What about those people? Why am I in sorrow and sickness and sadness? What about them? Why am I lonely? Why am I struggling? Why do I have these health issues? What about them?" This is where it comes down to the individual. When Jesus then answers, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Jesus is rebuking Peter at this moment. If I want something special to happen to them, it's not your concern. But you must follow me. This is the individual journey. This is your faith journey. You may say, "Lord, what about them? Why did it not go well for me? Why did this happen to me? It didn't happen to others." You can see Jesus turn around and go, "That's not your concern. Your concern is you and me. Look at this. You must follow me." What happens with John? That's between me and John. But what happens between me and you, that's important right now. Come, follow me. Jesus is challenging. Come, follow me. Whatever happened to other people, don't worry about you, me. I have a question for you all. How much of your life have you been truly living? Like really living? How much of your life? Who wants to have a guess saying how much of your life have you been really, truly living? Zoe? Okay, gotcha. Okay, we haven't truly lived till we got to heaven, right? Okay, well, what about life here, just individually? Like, how many of you would like to guess how much have you truly lived right here, right now? Sorry, 10%. Okay, we'll give them the percentage. Do any of you have years or just days or only minutes? Anybody got a comment there? I know I'm playing this a little bit, right? Truly living. Let me give you an example of truly living. I mean, sorry?
Living 31 years.
31 years. You're truly living 31 years. Great. My question is, are you those really living? I'm taking you out of the mundane. Mundane is not truly living. Get up, go to school, go to work, earn a bunch of money, come home. And if I asked you, what did you do last Wednesday? Bible study. Okay, yes. All right. Fantastic. But I'm just asking, 3 weeks ago on a Thursday, Zoma. Okay.
I had a wellness day at the
doctor. You had a wellness day at the doctor, okay. Truly living, that moment where you, very first time, you're up in a plane and you look out of the window of a plane and you see the clouds and you see the excitement. This is truly living. This is a moment where you, wow. Do you get what I'm saying now? These truly living moments. What about that first relationship, you know, that moment? Truly living. Isaac and Mike and last couple of weeks said truly living. It's getting down on one knee. Tell me about your hearts, right? Were they pumping hard, really exciting, right? This moment, this truly living, you both told us about what happened and how it happened because you remember it. This truly living moment. Many of us in this room, that first crush, that first moment, your school teacher you loved. What about winning a race? That moment where you finally beat everybody in this race. Can you remember primary school and that just race and you won? You know, that moment where there's excitement. For some of us, this excitement of a child born, that truly living that moment of excitement, you'll remember the children being born and the excitement of that. That's what I'm talking about, truly living. Those moments of life of truly living, following in his footsteps to really live. Okay, on a hazard a guess now, anybody got an idea of how long they've truly lived in their life journey now? Anyone want to throw something out? An hour. Okay, Peter. Great. What did you say?
Minutes.
Okay, any other thoughts? Okay. Seconds. These truly living moments, truly, like Jesus says that I have come to give you life and life in abundance. So that abundance must mean that there's something that Jesus has for each of us in our journey that has something beautiful as part of that journey. And you remember it. And it doesn't even mean that it was easy. And it could be the toughest times, the most dangerous moments in your life were part of your truly living, going through a major operation, going through like a car accident or going through, you know, some difficulty in relationship or something. There's moments of truly living and moving back to a place of who I am in Jesus. I was talking to someone last week. They've been through a horrific accident and hard things have happened. Somebody died in that accident and they were the driver and so much has happened. And they said, as hard as it is, that accident brought them really close to Jesus. It was the hard part of the truly living, but bringing them back to Jesus. It was in 1995. It was in 1995 that I went to a gathering. A Christian leader was there, and he was challenging people to go out and do something for Jesus, to sit in a time of prayer and see what God was challenging us to do for him in some way. And then he said, if you If God places something on your heart to do for him, are you willing to do it? And not only are you willing to do it, are you willing to share it with somebody so you become accountable? All right? Because it's one thing to dream it. It's another thing to make it now accountable. And I sat there and I believed in just a time of prayer that God was asking me, and some of you may have heard this story before, but I believe God was asking me to go into Sydney, into Hyde Park, and to go and sit with a group of the alcoholics, homeless people there, and to buy them lunch. And so I shared this with Helen, and also shared it with the pastor that was there. I had now accountability. And I'd thought about it for a while and thought, I'm always too busy. We're running the Christian campsite. We're busy, 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 busy. And I felt like God just always, every now and then, would just put it on my heart, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. So eventually I said, I'm going. Set apart a whole day. Got on the train, went from Campbelltown into Sydney. There's a long story through it all, but I'll shorten the story into this place where I finally found there was about six or eight men sitting on the park benches. They were angry and just sitting there talking with each other. They were drinking, and I went and sat with them. The very first thing, one grabs me by the shirt and it said, are you police? Why are you here? And I said, look, I believe God's asking me to come and sit with you guys for the day. I believe God's asked me to come and buy some lunch for you guys. I'm a Christian. I believe that God's commissioning or asking me to do this. Yeah, right. What do you want to know? What do you, so angry, but confused. Why would somebody come and sit with us and want to buy us lunch? So in that time of conversation, there's a few that were, just a bit angry, but we were sitting and trying to talk. And then I said, okay, I took a pen and paper and I wrote down their lunch orders. And then I went off and bought the lunch and I brought it back for them. They were appreciative of this food. Some ate some food and vomited straight away because they weren't used to even having food. They were really hardened on the street. But one of the guys, who the angry one that grabbed me, and just turned to me and he said, if you're from God and God brought you here, I want you to tell us exactly our ages. That's a challenge, right? And I don't know about you, but anybody who's been hardened by life, hardly have any teeth and quite wrinkled and skin and everything. In fact, one guy was teeth was no good, that he pulled out a pair of pliers and ripped one tooth out in front of me because he was in pain and then just laid on the grass for a moment. Like it was raw, but it was confronting. But I felt like God was asking me to be there. And I sat there and just prayed, under your breath, Lord, you got to turn up in this. And I sat and I was able to name every age of all of them there. And the guy that challenged me on this was in shock. How did you know? Like, how do you know our ages? I said, I don't know. That's why I believe God's called me here. For me, that was a moment of truly living. I'm not saying it was easy. I'm not saying it was glamorous. But I felt and believed God had brought me there and given me the answers to say, I am with you in this. Now, the difference for them, I have no idea. But the difference for me was stepping out in that place of faith. That place of truly living. Those moments where you can't forget where God has done something amazing by you stepping out and doing something for him. In In Matthew 28:16, the 11 disciples went to where? Galilee. That's the lake where they were fishing. This is Matthew, not John. Same place. They went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We know this is where Peter was fishing with the other disciples. We know that this is the place where Jesus was now commissioning them to move away from what they were part of before. I preached on this a couple of weeks ago, where they became fishers of men, getting out there, going on an adventurous journey. Peter was pointing to the others. What about John? Jesus says, "No, you and me. You and me, off on an adventure." And if we know the New Testament well enough, we know that Peter, from that moment on, and the disciples, then in Jerusalem, Holy Spirit coming on, we see Peter, who's supposed to be just a fisherman, is now a leader of the church, leader of this incredible movement, seeing Jesus now moving and traveling through countries and other places, sharing Jesus, having a dynamic and powerful ministry and life. Just look through the book of Acts and we see Peter and the visions and things taking place. He's truly living. Jesus has commissioned him, set him free. He's on his way, even though we read about his martyrdom. He still truly and really lived. But we point at others. What about them? And Jesus is going, "Hey, what about you? The individuality of it all. That place where Jesus says, you and me." As Brennan Manning says many times, Brennan Manning makes this comment. He says, "When we finally step in to heaven and Jesus walks up to us and asks us a question, what will be that question that he asks us? What will be that question? Will it be, 'Do you understand the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith?' Or the atonement, the substitutionary atonement of Jesus to you and I? Do you think that's what Jesus will bring to us? What's the question that Jesus will ask? That one question." And Brennan Manning makes this statement. He says, "Jesus will look at us individually, intimately, and say, 'Do you know that I love you? Do you know that I truly love you? Do you know that I longed for you? Do you know that I longed for you to talk to me, to spend time with me? This intimacy, do you know that I really, really love you?" What will be your answer? What will be your answer? He's not going to ask you how many times you helped people or did good things for other people. He's not going to ask you about the wrongs and other things. He's going to ask you directly, "Do you know that I truly, really love you?" Jesus has gone to the cross. God is love and shows it to us. But he's asking you and I individually to go on a powerful journey with him, to learn to truly live, to take a risk, to be adventurous in some way, to encourage others to be adventurous, to go out, to make disciples, to not be stuck in the mundane, but live some life of adventure. I was talking to somebody this week who's going to go on a trip. And I loved it because most of the conversation of this trip was, if I go here, I'm going to go to this village, how can I talk to them about Jesus? And if I go here and I'm going to go to this place, to this village, how can I bring a Bible or share Jesus with them? It was so encouraging to me. It was so encouraging to me. It wasn't I'm going to a holiday destination to lay under a palm tree by a swimming pool for my time. I'm actually going by myself on an adventure and I want to share Jesus. That's exciting. Jesus said, come, follow me. Come in my footsteps. Come in my footsteps, follow me. Come and be with me and come on an adventure with me. Don't point to others, look at yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, a lot of our life, we are told to be responsible. We are told to be good stewards. We are told to make good, wise, and worldly decisions. You, on the other hand, say, die to yourself, follow me, come on an adventure. Lord, there's a battle within us, a battle of security and comfort. There's also a battle that we want to truly live. Allow us to find a place where we can be truly living in the adventure of life and not lose who we are and find who we are through you. There's so much of life around us. So many times we are just going through the motions. Lord, rekindle an adventure in us that we're willing to step forward, even though others may say it's not right. Others may say that's not a smart thing to do. But Lord, you're asking us to not look at others, but to look to you. Don't point to others, but look at you. Come, follow me, you say. Lord Jesus, let us come and follow you and know that it's you speaking to us individually. Amen.